Holding, we're looking Perek Hey, Suba's Perek Hey Mishna Tes. I think we finished Ches, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So now, Noisim Lamal Kesev L'Tzorcho. Above and beyond the Mezonos, the food that he's giving, he gives her a Ma'ah of Kesev every week to buy trinkets, whatever she needs to buy for her whatever her needs are, extra needs. She's the says the kibbutz of the merchitz kiyat ben, which is a ralosh and ramam. She needs to go to the merchitz, so she got to pay the entrance fee. So a ma'ah is a sixth of a dinner. So it's not a large amount of money.
How often does he do this?
Every week. And the commitment is that even though during the rest of the week he can send her the food, but Friday nights they have to eat together. Part of the commitment of the marriage is that Friday nights, which is a Leil Oina, they should have a meal together and then they should be together. Okay. Now, v'me'ein noisin lo mokesev l'tzarcho, ma'isa yudeh ha'shalom. If he does not give her mokesev, so her ma'isa yudeim belong to her. Now, the Gemara explains it doesn't mean the ma'isa yudeim, because ma'isa yudeim were given to the husband as the corresponding to the fact that he gives her mezonos. This is, he's giving her above and beyond the din of mezonos. That's talking about a case where she would make ma'asidayim above and beyond the amount we're going to give her a shear that she's supposed to make, produce every week, which if she does beyond that, he only has the right to get that if he gives her the weekly ma'akesef. If he doesn't give that, so she keeps that for herself and she can use it to sell whatever, you know, she can do whatever she wants with it. Okay, so mahi oseloi, so what is the ma'asidayim that the woman is machuyev to produce? Okay. So, the Mishnah gives it to you by weight. Mishkol chomesh sloyim shesi b'Yehuda, shehem esu sloyim b'Galil. The thread which they used in Yehuda was a heavier thread than they used
thinner, perhaps?
No, I think I think it means the weight. The weight system they used to use for these coins, the coinage, the weighing it against the coinage. The coinage system, the weight was a different weight. So a sella in Yehuda was twice as heavy as it was in Galil. So 5 sloim in Yehuda was equal to 10 sloim in Galil. So when you make the thread which you use for weaving cloth, so there's two types of threads. There was shesi thread. Shesi is the foundation thread. That was the thread you'd be putting on the loom itself. And then you would have the orev thread, which is lashon tarubas, a mixing in, which you would send back and forth within the chassis threads, and that's how you weave. So the actual threads were different. So the woman was committed to make 5 sloyums worth of chassis per week, which is shame Esther sloyum big deal, which was 10 sloyums worth in Galil. Oy mishkol esu sloim orev b'Yehuda, shem esim sloim b'Galil. Or the orev thread was a thinner thread.
Look, morning, Jonathan. Look,
no, actually, I think the chassis thread was thinner. But it was easier to make the orev thread, because to make a good thread which is thin is more difficult than making a good thread which is thicker. So she could produce 10 sloyums worth of orev thread per week, or 5 sloyums worth of chassis thread per week. That was her commitment. Behuda, Shem Esim Slim Begalil. Okay. So that was what she was. The Arav thread was thicker, and because that, you know, as you would throw it back and forth, you would have it had to be a thicker thread that it shouldn't tear. Whereas the Shesi thread basically stayed stationary. It also played a difference in the primary product of what you're trying to produce in the coloration and the pictures, whatever you put, it was put in the wood, in the weave. The majority of that is done with the Arav thread, so the Shesi threads were thinner, so the Arav threads would be more visible. So the Shesi thread would just basically just be the foundation for everything to go through. So that was that mouth that she had to produce per week. If a woman was in a state where she was just given birth and she was now nursing a child, so personally, in Ma'aseh Yadav, we reduce the amount of Ma'aseh Yadav that she has to produce. But we give her more food. So we drop we add more food, but at the same time, we drop the requirements of the what she's supposed to produce. The Gemara says that the way the order works is that they were mechayev mezonos, or possibly mechayev mezonos, or the chachamim mechayev mezonos, however you understand. They understood that the husband might not be necessarily motivated 100% to give her the mezonos properly, so we told him that he can get her ma'aseh yadayim. This is a motivation; they'll be more motivated to provide the mezonos. But the chayev mezonos really is there, independent of the ma'aseh yadayim. It's just that Chazal recognized that we're dealing with people, and they might not necessarily be motivated to do it. So in this situation, we'll go back to the Iker Adin. He's Mukhir Dibra Mazonis, what she needs, on the one end. And the other end, we can't expect the Ma'aseh Yadayim, so the Ma'aseh Yadayim will be less. And he'll say, well, that's not fair. But well, the Ma'aseh Yadayim are, we're never the Iker anyway. The Iker over here is the Mazonis. That's why the Mora says, if a woman says, you know, I felt confident I could produce a large amount of whatever I can produce, and any designers of any oysters, so I have a better idea that, you know, you don't support me, and I'll take care of myself, and I'll whatever Ma'aseh I get, I'll use for myself. So she has a right to say that. Because the primary purpose over here is to protect her. So she has a right to say, I don't need the protection. I can support myself. She has a right to do that.
If she says that, so you're not obligated.
Then he's not mechuyev to give her mezonos. He doesn't get her ma'aseh yadayim. Now, we made the memorial ba'ani shebi Yisrael, but mechubet akol avi chvoidai. This is the basic chiyuv that we expect the husband to provide for his wife. The more mechubet the man is, so he's mechuyev to give her more mezonos. You know, that's what we've been saying before. The amounts that we're talking about, this is a baseline amount. But obviously, if he's the mechubet de gemen, she can't get away with giving his wife this minimal meals. The calculation, which we said yesterday, that the totals up to the 16 meals worth, that's at a baseline of 4 kebayim of bread per meal. 4 kebayim of bread per meal was the this. If you calculate your you calculate the erevin we had, that the suda, the size of an erev, rubit tchumen, you're making rubit tchumen, you're making it with, you have to put 2 meals worth of bread there. 2 meals worth of bread was 8, according to the Mishnah, was either 6 kebayim or 8 kebayim, which means a meal is either 3 kebayim or 4 kebayim. That's clear that the That was a minimal suda. That wasn't considered a normal suda. So that was the suda an ani would eat. So the shear which you're giving here is the shear that an ani would have to give. That a mechub would have to give the chvichvoidoy. And again, we already mentioned before that the minigam medina would play a role as well. So the minigam medina was more, so that he would mechub to give based on the minigam medina.
Can you remind me about how that ties into, like, the shear of challah?
much your generates the.
So I think we mentioned this once. I don't remember what the. I guess we're learning brachas probably did. So by pasul b'kistin. So what's the more says of your kaveya suda? I'm saying my share on Monday pasul b'kistin. So if your kaveya suda, which by halacha is definition is by eating a certain amount. Then you would wash, say hamoitzi and bench, as opposed to saying mazernus and an alavitya, and not washing. So we define kaviyah suda by eating a certain amount. So how much is that amount? So Magen Avraham says the amount is the shear of the three or four kibayim. We call this Rashi Rama how you paskin, but because you see that's called a meal. All the poskim disagree with them. Magen Avraham Lagra, Shulchan Aruch Rav, Chayyim. They all disagree. The Shulchan Aruch Rav says, "Lachara, we should look for a shir suda based to the mon, because the mon was an omer. Omer is what we call shir chal. Shir chal is 43 and 1/5. It's 43.2 bayim. So 21.6." Would be one meal's worth, because they had two meals. They ate a meal for the morning, a meal for the evening. So the morning suda was 21.6 kebayim, and the evening suda was 21.6 kebayim. So three or four kebayim is clearly much smaller than that, than 21. The Aruch HaShulchan says that whoever suggested the shir kaviya suda is 21.6 kebayim is obviously correct, but no, we don't eat like that nowadays. The Gra also sees it like that. Even the Shulchan Aruch mentions that he brings such an opinion. He doesn't seem to support it himself. But the Shir Kaviyah Suda is six, something, you know, depending what's normal, is six, seven, bayim.
Yeah, but how do you reconcile this?
Extra large.
Either the kebayim were smaller than our kebayim, or they were bigger than us. I mean, and this is for men, women, and children. Right, it was each person in the family.
Each person got
had 21.6 kebayim for breakfast. Could be the mom was easier to eat.
Breakfast of champions.
Than the regular bread, I assume so. It was nivola. It body dealt with it differently, so it was easier to eat it. Moshe Rabbeinu, we know, was 10 amos tall, so I don't know how, you know, so what was the average size of the. I don't know whether he was considered large or not.
Quick question. Standard ketol tests today are about how many kebayim?
So my Rebbe gave me a rule of thumb for a size of a kebayim is if you take a 2-pound loaf of rye bread from the bakery and take a slice from the middle, that's a kebayim. It's by volume, it's about the size of a kebayim. Half of that is a kazayis. The kebayis is two kazayisim. So if you want to, you have a rule of thumb about how big a kazayis is, that's about how big a kazayis is by value. Okay, is that the Mishnah Perek Vav, Mishnah Aleph?
I mean, it's interesting that they don't, but they say pochus and they don't tell you about how much.
Right, it doesn't say. But the Masivan, though, it says, I guess it would be up to the woman to say what she's comfortable producing. It's probably that's protected for the woman, right? Because he's being tevayah her, and she says I can't, so she's be believed. The Masiv Alam is going to say, Chazal say actually specifically items which are good for helping to produce milk. So there are specific items that the Mora says.
Do we think about her capacity to do these things, to cook, to be dexterity, to be able to do these things? Because every woman's expected to make fabric. She should make thread.
I mean, if she couldn't,
she's just not good. She's not good. She tries, but we're expected a volume.
If that would be something which they would have to speak out before the marriage. This is part of her chiyuvim, and she says, I can't do it, so she needs to know it before and accept that. Okay. So we said the ma'aseh da'im go to the husband. Also, if a woman finds something, So that goes to the husband as well. But Yerushasa, if while they're married, she gets a Yerusha from her side of the her family. So Huachol Peiros Bechayeha. So it belongs to her. It becomes the equivalent of Nixei Malug. Nixei Malug is that the woman owns the item. The husband never gets ownership. But he has the right to use it and get the benefit from it, the payrus from it. So if there was a situation where she was damaged, and they had to go to Bezin to pay the damages. So one of the damages is called pagam, the damage of to the person. That's the which we calculate the value that the person would go down had they been sold as a slave. And the boishes is the bush that she received from the situation. So the loss is if by a damage from a human being to an animal, or an animal to a human being, or to an animal, you pay damages. But the Torah adds, if it's a person's damage from a person to a person, so the Torah adds, besides paying for the damages, the value of the person would go down, he has to pay for the tsar, and he has to compensate for the cost of the ripui, the fact that the person couldn't work, the shevis, and also he pays for the bushes, the embarrassment. So that belongs to the woman.
When we say he can share in the payrus, does she still shares in the payrus too, right?
No, he takes the payrus.
He actually takes it.
It's his. Payrus over here meaning that whatever produces, it belongs to the husband. The item belongs to the woman, so therefore when
the payrus are his.
The payrus are his.
She gets 100 shares of coke and he gets a dividend.
What?
But they're hers. I mean, it was from her. She doesn't share in any of it.
The shares are hers. He gets the dividends.
So what happens to the principal with her? Can she ever do anything with that?
She can sell it.
She can sell it. Then what does she do with that? That she still can't do anything. It's still the...
No, the money is hers.
The money becomes hers.
Right. That's the principal.
Yeah.
The person who buys it is basically buying it with, again, the person that owns the principal, the husband still gets the payers, but now, if the husband dies, so the item belongs to him.
The item belongs to a third party.
If she sells it, right.
She sells it, and the payroll from that point forward.
Right, correct.
And in the case of divorce?
Case of divorce, the same thing. So he's buying it, and a person would buy it, on the chance for that chance.
And in the case of Yibo,
the case of
then the Yavam gets the payroll.
Excuse me. The Yavam gets once he does Yibum.
Once he does Yibam, the
Yavam
gets the
pair of. Yeah, while she's as the Yavam, we share that he doesn't get.
In the case of Chalitza, it's like a
get. Correct. Okay, Rabbi Yudim and Masera Omer that that when we say these Chavolas that that we discussed the damages, and we discussed the boishes. This man should say, sir, if the damage was at a part of the woman which is private, so losh nechalokim v'lo yechad. He does get the husband does get some of the payment. Affected his wife. See, he was affected by it as well, but she gets 2/3 of the payment, and the husband gets 1/3. This man should be galui losh nechalokim v'lo yechad. If it's something which is visible, so he gets part of the boishes also. His wife, has the, all right. So he's affected by it as well. He gets part of the payment. Shelo yonosin miyad, the part which goes to him, he takes it and uses it. Mishaloh yilachach ben karka, and hers gets a din. Rebbe Maser says gets a din that it's the equivalent of nitzim alug, which he's mechuyev to buy karka with it. And the husband gets the paris meanwhile. Okay.
I mean, why dafka to shift by karka?
Well, it has to be something which doesn't wear out. So, it's something which produces, because he has his paris in it. That's what you're saying. So she's forced to put into something which will produce paris.
It's lapdafka and karka then.
Well, most things other than karka we're concerned that will wear out and be destroyed, consumed.
Since he enjoys, he's got the paris. He's doing something with the land.
So possibly another thing would be an apartment for rent.
That's karka.
That's considered karka.
Yeah. That's paris. Yes.
Right. Okay. Now, this is the next Mr. Ready. We're here ready. A person moral slachasna. A person commits it to a certain amount of money to his son-in-law. So the son-in-law died in the situation of Yibum. So the father of the woman can say to the Yavam, I have no desire to give to you. Only my commitment was to give to your brother. Him I liked, and him I wanted to give to. Okay, so they made arrangements. He's going to bring in a certain amount of in the dunya, which was delivered at the time of the nesuin. Now, if they made arrangements for in the dunya, and the father then reneges on the dunya, so the husband is not mechuyev to go through with the nesuin. So basically, she stays in Arusa. She's married. But she's not living with her husband yet before the erison that he's going to be bringing in, she'll be bringing with her a certain amount of nadan, and now the father's reneging on it. The husband is not mechuyev to the nesuin. So the yavam says, "Okay, great. You know, you haven't paid up yet, so." When you give X, I'll do the Yibum, you know. And he says, no, I have no such Chiyuv. So now the person goes back to Bez and says he has a Mitzvah Yibum or a Mitzvah Chalitza, and he has to do something. Whereas had the brother not died, he would have had a right to say, I'm not going to do Nesuin until you pay the Nadat. Okay. Let's go to...
Can he get away with that? The father-in-law, the shver, can he not? I mean, how does it end up?
She sits and waits. This is not a very good situation for her. The father is she.
So it flows both ways.
Okay. Let's go to Perek Zion. Okay, let's go to Perzai Mishnah. So the Mishnah here talks about, so the woman has a right to exude, but there are certain things a woman can do in the marriage, act improperly, so that she loses her right to the ksuva. That he divorces her. He has a right to divorce her. He should divorce her. He doesn't have to pay ksuba. However, saldas Moshe v'Yehudis, a woman who is not keeping the mitzvahs of the Torah, or Yehudis is the mitzvahs of the Chachamim, the women Klai Yisrael have undertaken to do, which means the Rabbanans. Now, v'Ezo he das Moshe. What's an example of being over saldas Moshe? So we're not talking about her own private life. We're talking about how it affects him. For example, Machiloso Shenemoso, she's providing him food to eat, and she had not removed the meiser from it. Shumas the meiser from it. He was not aware of it until after he ate it, and then he found out that she, you know, just was careless in that issue. Or that they had relations. She had not informed him that she was Anita. Now, how does he prove that was really true? Maybe it wasn't. So there's a discussion in the Gemara and the Rishonim. If she would admit afterwards, could we use it against her? Because they didn't make matzah rasha, we wouldn't believe her. But on the other hand, vis-a-vis the financial obligations, a person's believed. So that's so some Rishonim say. The rabbi here brings the Gemara says that the case was that a woman, because of the halachas of nida, besides the issa to the husband, there also was all halachas of tumah tahara. So even if she was careful of tumah tahara, they used to wear special begadim when she was a nida to be just for the awareness that she's tamei. So she was wearing her big day nidus. And then she went to him, took those off, put on regular clothing, and went to the husband, who's mishamish. But then he has the testimony of the neighbors that they saw her wearing bikinis that day. So that would be enough to be a raya that she was a nida. Or will kutzel challah, she's not taking off challah. Moore says, how do you know the case? So she told him that, you know, so-and-so took care of it for me, and then so-and-so comes along and says that's not true. Okay. Nederis veda mekayemis, or she makes nedorim, and she doesn't keep them. So now, why does it affect him? Because I'll say that if a person makes nedorim and they don't keep them, their children die, so she's endangering his children. So all of these affect him, and therefore he has a right to say that he's not mechuyav to continue to live with the person who's doing that to him. Okay. Vezohi Das Yehudis. So what is Das Yehudis, which the Chachamim say that she's not keeping the anhagas of the Jewish women, therefore he has the right he can divorce her without a ksuva. Yotza Bereisha Perua. She goes out with her hair uncovered. Or V'tava B'shuk, so doing tevia, I can't tell you. I can picture exactly what, you know. Not such a big bookie, and doing tevia was common. She was doing tevia that she would need to uncover her arm, so she was uncovering her upper arm. With the barasim kaladam, or she was talking with men, because the Morris Lashon is that she was joking around with the young men.
Had to be young.
The Mars Lashon is Bachurim, yeah. Avasholimer, Afa Makalelis, I'm not saying it's a good idea but with older men, just saying it's.
The Lashon is unmarried? It's an older woman.
Yeah, probably. Avasholimer, Afa Makalelis, your Lodov Bifonov, she gives clothes to her in laws. Right. So now Bafonov over here means in front of the husband, not in front of the father-in-law. Retired Amr Afa Kalanis. So Kalanis is that she's requesting intimate relations loud enough that other people can hear. Vezahi Kalanis, what's called a Kalanis? The Kashima Deber, so Tokbesa, Mishkanel Shemim Karlo. She says it loud enough. That the neighbors can hear about their private. Now, in all these, the Rav points out that the she's warned that if you continue to do this, you will lose your ksuva. And if after being warned with Adim that and she continues to do that, so then she loses her ksuva. So what does she lose? She loses the ikr ksuva. and she loses any tosefes that the husband committed to give. But the nitzim aluk obviously are hers, and the nitzis on barzel. So whatever is be'en, she takes back. But he's not mechuyev to pay the amounts of money that he was committed to. So all those commitments are based on the fact that she's acting properly. Anything which is hers by rights, so nitzis aluk is hers, and nitzis on barzel, the item is still intact, she takes the item. But any type of financial commitments that he was making so he would not have to give back. We're not have to pay. Okay, let's hold it here. Oh, wow.